Whenever the Ark of the Covenant was moved from its place, now we've talked about this before, but I want us to refocus because we need to remember the main thing needs to continue to be the main thing here. And then that is, we need the presence of the Lord. We must have the presence of the Lord. Now we can have an anointing, each one of us, in Christ. Amen? If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have received a mantle. It's an anointing that's on your life. But then there is the glory of God. And the glory is that cloud that they would follow in the wilderness. It was the manifest presence of the Lord. It was the fire by night and the cloud by day. And whenever the glory rested, the people of Israel would rest. Whenever it moved, they would follow. And whenever they moved from one location to the next, Moses would say, as they took up the Ark of the Covenant, which was the mercy seat, the place where God literally on the earth would meet with them, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. The only way that our enemies will be scattered is that God arises. There are some enemies that we deal with that are easy to deal with. There are some things we can do just within the realm of our anointing that we've received. But there are other things that we must contend for, and we must come together, and we must pray together, and we must believe God together, and we must praise His name and worship Him together, so that the glory, the manifest presence of God, will come. It's when the manifest glory of God comes that people are sovereignly set free, sovereignly delivered, sovereignly healed. When men come to an awareness of their own sinfulness, it causes them to tremble under the fear of God and the recognition that I am in trouble before God. What we need is a move of God's Spirit that will convict sinners of sin, that will set people who are bound by demons free, that will break every chain of addiction. Amen. We need a sovereign move of God. We need the glory of God. Even in our meetings, we must all be worshipers. We must all have a hunger and a thirst for the presence of the Lord. We must be crying out to God for the glory to come down. And when the glory comes, sovereign miracles begin to take place. Some of you have been healed simply by being in the glory realm. When we have worshipped corporately together, and when our hearts are united, brought together as one, and we begin to offer to God praise. How many know that when your heart is right with God, then your praise will be acceptable to Him? Amen. But if we come to God as the Pharisee and said, God, I thank You that I'm not like those guys over there. God, I thank You that I'm so spiritual and they're not. Certainly, God, You must have favor on me because I'm so spiritual. Instead, the publican beat his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and was justified. And those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be brought down. And so the way up is down. The way up is on your face. Amen? Before God, humbling yourself, worshiping God. I love to see the folks up here today in childlike expression of love and adoration with the children, waving a banner and loving on Jesus and oblivious to the opinions of men. That's humility. It's either humility or it's showmanship. But I believe that it's humility. Okay? So whatever we do for the glory of God. Amen? So if I'm sitting in the back, worshiping God from wherever I'm sitting, if I'm up here on the platform, whatever we find ourselves doing in here, it should always be for the glory of God. It should always be to draw attention to Him. Amen? And so you can hop up and down, jump, do cartwheels, be free to express yourself, because I believe that we must have freedom in worship. And don't let anybody put you in their religious box. And so when we express ourselves freely before God, and we do it with a pure heart, with the right motivation, because we're hungry and we're thirsty for His presence. And when we corporately will all join together, amen, we get from the place of being a spectator to being a participant. And if we break on through to the other side, there comes a time where there's a breakthrough, as we say, and the glory of God comes. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Without His presence, folks, we don't move out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Unless the Lord goes before us, we don't go.
Amen.
If the Lord isn't moving there, we don't move. If the Lord says, settle down, settle down. If the Lord says, go, go. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so they would take up the Ark of the Covenant and they would say, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. And so we're going to read from Psalms chapter 68 today, verse 1. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Let those who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. You see, it's in the presence of God that the wicked perish. It's in the presence of God that demons flee. When Jesus showed up on the scene, while He was still a great distance, those demons began to manifest. They said, why have you come to torment us, Jesus of Nazareth? Thou son of David. They knew who He was. Why? Because Jesus, the King of the kingdom, was on the scene. The manifest presence of God in a body. In Christ dwells all the fullness. God gave the Spirit to Jesus without measure. He was the full embodiment. And when He showed up, there was nothing, even death itself, that could not defeat Him. And the devil saw that and they trembled when Jesus shows up. What we need is not only to be personally filled with the power of God, but we need to corporately come together, and we need to cry out, and we need to seek His face, and we need to call heaven down. And when heaven comes down, then miracles take place. The sick are healed, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. So we should never become satisfied with a little. Because I've never heard of anybody having too much of Jesus. But I have heard of those who don't have enough oil. So we need the presence of God in order to break every chain, in order to see salvation, healing, and deliverance on the scale that it's going to take to break the principalities and powers over this city. It's going to take the unity of the body of Christ coming together to seek His face and call heaven down. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven, holy is Your name. We worship. We come to Him for Him with praise. And then we say, Your kingdom come. We have to call it in. In order for the will of God to be done, we have to call the kingdom in. And so the kingdom is at hand. It's among you. When you say it, the kingdom is at hand. The Holy Spirit backs up the commands of our Lord. Are you with me?
Yes.
Jesus said, when you go, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Amen? So it's very important that we understand that we are the body, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're not looking for a box hidden somewhere in a mountain today. Are you with me? But we are that temple. And the very presence of God dwells within the heart of every believer who is born of His Spirit, who has the Holy Spirit in them, who has the Spirit of Christ. If any man does not possess the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And so wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, the enemies of God were scattered. And in verse 4 it says, sing to God. In fact, verse 3 says, but let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice, what?
Exceedingly.
Today, as we worship the Lord and we sang, it was getting more and more glorious. Did you sense it? Especially on the last song. Do you know that God has much more than that, even? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are we willing to have that kind of breakthrough? See, if we hold back and we bow out, sometimes we bow out just before the miracle, just before the breakthrough. We get weary in well-doing. We get busy. We get preoccupied with other things. And all of a sudden, we've got a schedule. We've got an agenda. I've got some place to be. I've got this going on. I don't have time for this. Folks, we don't have time to miss what God wants to do. If we don't get a hold of God, amen, in the way that we need to, then this city and this nation is going to continue to plummet. We need to speak life. We need to declare the kingdom at hand. Amen. We need to be about our Father's business as individuals, but we must come together and we must pray and we must seek His face. When you and I are gathered here together today, this glory that we're experiencing, this level of glory, is also being experienced around here, outside of these walls. God is not contained by a box. Amen? And so you and I are the ones who are to be the instruments through whom God wants to reveal His glory in the earth. We are to make Him known. We must have His presence. This is the danger. We have a wonderful time at church. God moves. Miracles happen. People are happy and blessed. And then the enemy comes along and says, well, it's happening now, so you might as well just take a vacation. You might as well just don't worry about praying. And he can convince enough of us of that lie. Or we just simply come in and we live off somebody else's anointing. I come in and I receive the benefit that somebody else has paid a price for their anointing. Are you with me? And so we just come in and we just, if you will, receive from others. But what we need to do is, as an individual, learn how to receive from God ourselves. Our purpose as ministers is to point people to the one, amen, who alone has immortality, who has eternal life, who alone can transform the heart. and not create an atmosphere where people become depending on us. There's a time when a bottle needs to be given to a baby, amen? But there's a time when that baby needs to learn how to eat solid food. As you've heard it said before, if you have to part the mustache to put the bottle in, there's a problem, right? All right. That's not my joke, but I thought it was funny. In Ephesians chapter 6, it lists out the armor of God, the different pieces of that make up the armor of God. And the first thing mentioned there, and the most important of all, is the belt of truth. Because without a knowledge of the truth, your life will fall apart. This is why we fall apart, is because we lack knowledge, we lack a knowledge of the truth. And in the areas of darkness, the enemy can operate. So he's constantly trying to keep you out of church, out of fellowship, out of Bible study, out of reading the Word on your own, out of understanding, getting a knowledge of the will of God, so that he can keep you in darkness. And where we don't have light, he's able to operate. That's why we must continually be learning and growing in grace, charis, that's the divine influence of God on the heart by his Spirit, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So we need grace and knowledge, both. But if either one of those get out of balance, where we just have a lot of knowledge, but we don't really have the grace that we need or the power that we need, Then we become like the Pharisee, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And on the other side of that, if we're just chasing after the supernatural, if we're just looking for experiences, but we're not also balancing that with the knowledge of God, the truth that can protect you. How many know the Word of God is like the banks of a river? That river is powerful and that river is wonderful as long as it stays within the banks. But without the knowledge of God, it can become a flood of devastation. We have both extremes. You have people that are just knowledge seekers, like the Gnostics of old, constantly learning a new thing, stimulating the intellect. And then you have the other extreme, where it's just a constant search for some type of esoteric or spiritual experience, but with that's not balanced with the Word of truth. Hello, without the belt of truth, none of the rest of the armor is going to stay in place.
Amen.
Your life will fall apart.
Amen.
So there needs to be balance. Paul said we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What we are dealing with in the Spirit is greater than we are. We can't live off yesterday's bread. Amen? You can't take what you get today, folks, and try to survive the week on it. Are you with me? We need to learn how to feed ourselves. We need to learn how to build ourselves. Keep the Word before you. Meditate in it day and night. Listen to preaching. Amen? You can go online and hear any of these messages. I wouldn't recommend you listen to everything that's out there. There's a lot of junk out there. And I'm not here to pretend that I know it all either. But what we need to do is we need to know what that Bible says ourselves. And we need to know the heart of God. We need to have a relationship with the Lord. Amen? So that we know His voice. So we can discern His voice. There is a lack of discernment today. You see, the enemy does not dress himself up in a red suit with horns and tail. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this. Your enemy can be one of the nicest people you meet. Nice. Take a look at the life of Jesus if you want an example of what God is really like. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus didn't put up with a lot of stuff that gets put up with today. As a matter of fact, he didn't have a lot of friends by the time he went to the cross. But he obeyed the will of his Father, irregardless of the cost. Jesus, I preached on this the other night, offended his family, he offended his friends, he offended the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He didn't do it on purpose. He was simply obeying the Father. How many know that Jesus wasn't always nice? Nice does not equal godliness necessarily. We are not to be rude, because love is not rude. What we need to do, folks, is quit trying to be somebody else and copy somebody else's life. And we need to shift back to the one and only that we want to be like, Jesus Christ. And say, what is our master like? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be conformed into the image of Jesus. I want the world to see Jesus. Amen? And Jesus was not some pansy-whamsy limp wrist, all right? He was not a milquetoast. Jesus was a man of character, of integrity, of strength, of power.
Amen.
People either loved Jesus or they hated Jesus. There was no in-between. You see, love sometimes means correction. Do we love our children? Parents, if you love your kids, you got to correct them. You got to have discipline. Discipline, if it's done in the right way, is always with a desire of an expected end of reconciliation and healing. I can remember my parents making me so angry when I was a teenager because they just didn't have a clue, I thought. I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. And then I grew up and I realized my parents were right in a lot of ways, most of the time. But they loved me enough to discipline me. So we've got to discipline our children. I don't care what the government says. If you live to be politically correct, you're going to compromise the will of God. Uh-oh, did you just say that? Yes, I just said that. If we live to please everybody, we will compromise the will of God. Amen. If we're nice all the time, we're compromising. My dad said something to me years ago. He said, beware of people that are too nice. I always wondered, what is he talking about being too nice? I thought, I like nice people, don't you? I like nice people. And then I began to have some experiences in life with nice people. And listen, I'm not here to browbeat anybody here today. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone here. What I am saying is for the protection of each individual here, including myself, is that we need to beware of how the enemy operates. We can go to any meeting, and there may be miracles in that meeting. That does not necessarily mean that that meeting is right. There are many used car salesmen who are very nice. The enemy could not seduce or deceive unless he came very nice, very smooth. So we need to be careful that we don't align ourselves with that spirit that comes as an angel of light.
Amen.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
Satan appears as an angel of light. The problem is this, is when we hear truth, so often we don't take a look at ourselves. We look at that person over there, or that person. It must be for Joe over here. When you hear the word, we as individuals should not be pointing our finger at our brother and sister, but we need to point it at ourselves and say, Lord, what are you saying to me today? Is there something that I need to learn from this today? Instead of accusing, well, he's speaking about so-and-so. Well, you might be just trying to divert things away from your own self. Somebody told me the other day, Pastor, you need to step on our toes more often. I said, I'm just going to preach what God gives me to preach.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going around to deliberately step on anybody's toes. And that's good English, anybody's toes. But if God gives me a word, I'm going to speak that word. Because if you don't receive the truth, are you hearing me today? If you don't get a hold of the truth and are willing to live and abide by the truth and know that Jesus is your model, not the old system of the law, the Pharisaical system that was about judging and pointing at the others and comparing ourselves. But what do I look like? Do I look like Him? Do I walk like Him? Do I really know Him? Not do I have all this knowledge about Him, but do I know the one I'm learning about? And if we are living in that place of intimacy with God, we have cultivated and are cultivating a relationship to know the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that means sometimes when you listen to His voice and you do and you speak what He tells you to speak and do what He tells you to do, this is going to be some problems. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You will be opposed, but the glory of God will rest upon you.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want the glory in your life? Do you want the anointing on your life?
Yeah.
Do you want the power of God in your life?
Yeah.
Then we must say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
We must do it His way.
Yes.
There are so many that are deceived today. And there are so many that will not listen to the truth anymore. But if you love Jesus, you love truth. And when you hear a word and it applies, even if the devil himself spoke the word and it's true, I want you to hear this. How many know the devil speaks truth too? If it's true, it's true. If the devil comes up and reminds you of your weakness, of your fault, don't try to deny it. Say, thank you, devil, for reminding me. I'm going to go to Jesus now. Instead of trying to bury it or try to cover, we go to Jesus with it. That's it. Is that simple?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's be open. Let's be transparent before the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've heard the devil at least a few times accusing. He'll come up and he'll remind you of what you did 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's good.
You think God forgives you for that? Yes. And you need to go now. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Because now we begin to say what Jesus said. It is finished. It is finished. The price has been paid. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. I'm a new man. He didn't just patch me up. I'm a new person. I just need to live out of that new person now and deny the old person. Starve that one out. And feed the new man. Feed the Word. Amen. Worship God in spirit. Be filled with the glory and the presence of the Lord. When you walk in truth, when you're a lover of truth, even when it hurts. I've had people that spoke into my life, and they spoke into my life out of love. And even when it wasn't in love, if it applied, I've got to say, okay, I need to deal with it. If we will deal with it, and we will live in the truth, when you live in the truth, you're actually living in love. It's the love of the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
So we receive the truth even when it hurts, because it's good for us. It protects us. It's a lamp unto our feet. Amen? It's a light unto our path. Our prayer needs to be this. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise in your heart. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So arise and shine, daughter of Zion, the redeemed of the Lord, amen? His own special people. Arise and shine and let His light shine through you. And when you step into the truth, when you come into the truth, yes, the truth will expose. But when you come into the truth, you will be set free. Isn't confession good for the soul?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. To get it off. We love the truth. And there is no fear because we have run into the light. We've run into the light. And we're an open book. And then the light of Christ arises in your heart. And then your enemies will be scattered. Do you want to get oppression off your life? You know what I'm talking about? Where the enemy's been tormenting you? First ask the question, Lord, is there anything that I need to deal with here? So that you can align yourself with the truth and open yourself up for the light to come in. Let everything be turned on. I'll let the full-blown light of Christ shine into your hearts and expose anything that's not right. Amen?
Amen.
Confess your sins to God. He's just waiting for you to do that. Because He wants to forgive you. And once you confess and you walk away from that thing and say, I'm done. I'm no longer living in that identity. I'm a new man. I'm going to walk in my new identity. And you walk in the truth. Then the enemy has no place to hide. He cannot camp out in our life anymore. He can only dwell and abide in the areas that we are sympathetic to Him. In the areas that we will compromise, He will continue to dwell there and mess you up. Well, God, yeah, this is okay, but I don't know about this. Well, it's this thing that messes you up. When you're not willing to come clean with God, you're not willing to completely surrender it all to Him, When we try to justify our behaviors, instead we need to come into the light. See, the devil has lied to people, and he says, if you come into the light, you'll be in trouble. The opposite is true. Adam hid from the Lord when he sinned. But who was it that came looking for him? Do you think he came with a hammer in his hand? No. You don't see that. Adam, where are you? God was heartbroken. It broke the heart of God that Adam would commit such treason. He came looking for him. Jesus shows up on the scene. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. If you will come into the truth, fully into the truth, you will know the truth. The light will come on. The demons will flee. Let God arise in your heart by being honest before God, confessing your sins, forsaking them, and running into the light. Amen?
Amen.
Run into the light. Run to Jesus. Pursue His heart. Pursue Him. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And the light of Christ will shine, and the enemies will scatter out of your life. But if we're sympathetic to the devil, if we justify or rationalize and say, oh, it's only a little. If God says get rid of it, get rid of it.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're allowing a stronghold to develop. The enemy says, right over here, boys, we've got an opening. And then from there, he's going to look for another opening. And as long as you're compromising, you're giving more and more place to the devil. And that's why the Bible says give no place to the devil. So let God arise. Let God arise in your hearts. And let His enemies be scattered. And when I know that your neighbor, your brother, your sister is not your enemy, right?
Right?
We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But we are in a spiritual battle. This thing is bigger than we are. And we must be very careful that we don't give any place as individuals. Because when individuals give place and we come together corporately, it begins to influence corporately. Hello. I want to have a clean heart. Do you? So let's just take a moment and bow our heads this morning.